Good morning to all. Well, one of the subjects that I was meditating on the past few weeks due to one of the messages I heard at the symposium was one, and then there was one other one that I heard that stimulated my memory or my thoughts and meditation upon culture. That word was used concerning a given culture or referring to maybe a biblical culture. And so I was meditating upon that to preach a message on the subject of establishing or maintaining, both of them, for us now, a biblical culture. Well, I began to think that there were two major parts of our tradition or culture that we missed in the last couple of weeks. What were they? Thanksgiving service. What's the other one? It's a little harder, maybe, but I caught it very clear. We missed something that would normally have been in 30-some years our tradition. Happened last Sunday. Yes. Somebody will have to repeat that. I didn't get it. No. Someone else want to try? It had to do with our song service. Don't take offense now, song leader. We had a communion service, but we didn't sing about the death of Christ and sufferings of Christ in the beginning four or five songs. Everybody missed it. Not only the song leader, but the songs that you all chose for him to lead. Nothing was said. Nothing was brought forth on the traditional attention on the death and sufferings or resurrection of our Lord on a communion service. That was unusual. Kind of a falling of tradition or whatever we want to call it. So then I began to think, well, and the other thing was in our family chat line on Tuesday night, I found out my brother came on late because he said he's a minister in Indiana County. And because they had their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday night so that the people can travel on Wednesday night to their prospective places, and I thought, well, now, that makes sense if we can't have one on Wednesday night because of other plans that people have. Why, well, maybe in another year we can think about Tuesday night. But then I thought, well, why don't we just go back and still have a Thanksgiving service this morning? On top of that, I heard a tremendous inspiration, part of it, and I studied out the rest of it out of Psalms 145. And I'm going to give that this morning as a stimulus for this service. And then, I don't know how long it'll take me. I'll try not to be too long. Then I'll open the microphone here for the brethren to come up or whoever. And we'll also pass the microphone around if you are more comfortable to talk about the things you're thankful for from your seat. Or stand at your seat, that's fine. We'll give you a microphone. All right, Psalms 145. And before I forget it, I was exceptionally thankful this morning. I noticed that Galen kind of capitalized on our Christian hymnary this morning, and I realized that, and I heard a complaint, a major complaint somewhere this week concerning people not singing hymns. And I had to think, we, even though some of them overlap, but we have 2,000 of them in our books in front of us. And what a blessing that we can switch back and forth between those 2,000 and have a song service that is filled. And the complaint was the fact that there's no doctrine in so many of these song services today because of their high repetition and this praise and worship that only takes a phrase and sings it over and over and over again. And I think there was a seminar in Indiana this week that they did that to an excess again, I believe. And it's once again looking at one of my subjects on the message on establishing a biblical or traditional culture for our church here at Effort of Christian Fellowship. Now that we've been going these number of years, it is essential that we think about that. And I can so beautifully tie that to your message, Brother Victor, that one of the things we want our young people, our children, to learn is that there is an established way of doing things. And one of them is singing hymns. And the other one should be to have thanksgiving openly and freely among us concerning the good things that God has done, because they are innumerable when I think of the past year that God has given us. So I think I'm able to tie that together with your message this morning and the burden of it. So may we establish this also in Psalms 145 as a part of our culture. Now here we're lacking as a congregation, as individuals. I confess that myself, and you'll see why as we go through this chapter, Psalms 145. A psalm of praise of David. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is Jehovah, and exceedingly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious splendor of his majesty and of the wondrous works, and they shall tell of the mighty, of the terrible acts, and thy great deeds will I declare. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Jehovah is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great loving kindness. Jehovah is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, Jehovah, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall tell of the glory of thy kingdom and speak of thy power, to make known the children of men his mighty acts. And there you have that, Victor. Notice that. To make known to the children of men his mighty acts and his glorious splendor of his kingdom. The kingdom is a kingdom of all ages, and thy dominion is throughout all generations. Jehovah upholdeth all that fail, that fall, and raises up all that are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their food in its season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Jehovah is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. Jehovah is nigh to all that call upon him, unto all that call upon him in truth. He filleth the desire of them that fear him. He heareth their cry and saveth them. Jehovah keepeth all that love him, and all the wicked shall he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of Jehovah, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever. I should have told you beforehand that I really want you to consider the verbs in this chapter that give us direct instruction concerning a Thanksgiving service, or not a Thanksgiving service, but a thanksgiving all day long. What are they? As you look and glance back over it, I'll give you a little time while you begin to give that, and I'll try and give you some dictionary definition of those words. What is the first one that we have? Yes. Praise the Lord? Yes. Okay, that's not the first one in verse 1, but what's the first one?
Extol.
What does it mean? To raise in words, to praise, to exalt in commendation, to magnify, we extol virtues, noble exploits, and heroism. Men are too much disposed to extol the rich and despise the poor, is one of the definition. But anyway, it's to raise in words, to praise, to exalt in commendation, and to magnify. That, I thought, was very good. All right, what's the next one?
That's right. What does that mean?
To pronounce a wish of happiness to one, or express a wish or desire of happiness. To bless would be to pronounce a wish of happiness to one, which means that we go to one another and wish you a good week. And we have a lot of that go on. I hope you have a good week. I hope you have a good situation in your service, or maybe you have an operation coming or a medical procedure, and maybe you have a certain trial or a certain difficulty, and we often bless each other in that. Okay, next one, we have bless again in verse 2, and then we have another word there. And there, Brother James is right. And that would be the word praise. In verse 2, we have bless and praise in two verbs there. And great is Jehovah and exceedingly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Now, we'll get a little more detail as we go down through here to see how that should be done. Verse 4, we have what? Another interesting word. What's the first one? Your translation probably doesn't give it the way the King James does. You have a King James?
What you read today is not King James, but it's New King James.
Oh, okay. Well, the word here is loud. Isn't that laud, rather? To shall laud thy works to another. Isn't that King James? It's not. Okay. Oh, sorry about that. I printed this out on my computer, and I thought it was King James. Already, before this, I had Jehovah. You say, in verse 3, great is the Lord is King James. Well, maybe I better open my Bible here and read out of that, or I'll be in trouble myself. All right. But anyway, that surprises me that the word laud is used in the New King James. But does anybody know what it means? Huh? Yeah, but in what way? The way it sounds. Loud. Loud praise. That's why I liked it. So anyway, that we should lift up our voice in praise in a loud way. So, all right, let me see here. Verse 5, What's the one we have in verse 5? Speak. That's right. Somebody said that already. And that, again, is self-explanatory. So I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. All right, verse 6. We have another one that's been mentioned before, but we didn't talk about it. Declare. What does it mean? Anybody want to give it a definition?
It means laud.
Okay, that's right. Well, the dictionary that I have, which I like too, is to make clear, to in a very clear tone, declare thy greatness. And it talks about speaking of the might of thy terrible acts and declare thy greatness. So the idea there in thanksgiving and in communication one with another that we declare his greatness. Number 7, verse 7, we have another word. What's that? Utter. Anybody want to guess what that means? I suppose that is self-explanatory, but it simply would, my understanding, it would simply mean to speak also or to say it, to utter the memory of thy great goodness. And then we have another one in that verse. What's that? Another verb. Nathan? Sing. That's right. Sing of thy righteousness. Now, these are all positive, very positive, explicit verbs that we are commanded to do in Psalms 145. Do you see the message of this chapter? And then, I have to cross-reference now. I confused myself. Verse 10, we have, thy saints shall bless thee. And then 11, they shall speak of thy glory, of thy kingdom. And here we have another one, and that's the word what? Talk. Talk of thy power, which means now the common conversation, we should talk of it. We don't have to do it loudly here in this case maybe, or we don't have to sing it. Just sing it, but here we speak, utter, talk, whatever of that. And I just love the way David does that, or whoever wrote this. Yeah, it's a psalm of David. All right, so there we talk of thy power. And what's the phrase in verse 12?
Make known.
That's right. How do we do that? All of the above, right? We sing it, we praise it, we speak it, we utter it, we whatever. Of all to the sons of men, Brother Victor, there's our children, his mighty acts and glorious majesty of his kingdom. So I think, was it Deuteronomy that says when you sit by the way, when you walk by the wayside, when you sit down, when you lie down, when you stand up, whatever, anyway, in all different postures of life around our family, we should be doing this. We should very positive be speaking, uttering, making known. And I think that is one of the things recently in a counseling discussion, we kind of uncovered the fact that maybe that hasn't been done enough to talk of our position with, as far as the world is concerned, the clear separation that we need to be and have from the world, and the whole thing is in hating the world and loving the culture and traditions of God in his word and the spiritual things there, and that we make that clear difference and make that known to our children things that are not acceptable and things that are, which if I ever get to preach the message on establishing a culture, we'll go over some of those things. Because our children need to be raised in an environment where they know that there are many, many things that are just not acceptable in our life, in our home, in our church, in our culture, in the things, places we go, and what we do, and how we talk, and how we treat each other. All those things produce a culture that is Christian and upright and godly and spiritual and scriptural and all those other things. All right, now, let me just give some very good things there about the kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Dominion endureth throughout all generation. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Like we say, if you fall, get up again. That is scriptural. And raises up all those that are bowed down. If somebody's depressed or sad or weary, the Lord is even able to raise us up there and help us to raise our heads again after a time of maybe mourning or difficulty in life, or maybe even pain or physical complications or whatever. That we often say to each other, my wife says it a lot, this too shall pass. And that's a good comment to be made when you're in difficulty, that, well, this will pass and things will get better soon, and so on. And she experienced that herself this past few months. And then the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all thy works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Does anybody want to make a comment on how do we call upon the Lord? Does that mean whisper? Does that mean just think about it? Once again, here is something that is verbalized in that we actually call upon the Lord. And I take it to be that with a bit of a raised voice, oh God, hear me, hear my cry. I have a need in my life, and or maybe we're interceding for someone else. But anyway, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, and that call upon him in truth. And I really like that, because there are so many people that call upon the Lord in selfish ways. And give me this, give me that, give me the other thing, you know, and they just want to heap God's blessings upon themselves. But here we call upon him in truth, and we ask God for the things that belong to his to the Christian family, the thing that belongs to us according to the Word of God, not just selfishly in our own life wanting fame, money, whatever, in a wrong way. So we call upon him in truth, and he will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry. And there we have that, and we assume once again that that word cry is not just a mere whisper or just a very low key thing. It's again where we lift up our voice and cry unto the Lord in earnest, and will save them. And then the Lord preserveth all them that love him. I like the word fear him and love him as two other things that are not quite the same as the other words that stood out to us. But all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. All right, there you have it. That's the command of God. We are to extol. We are to bless. We are to praise exceedingly. We are to laud or praise. We are to declare, speak, tell, declare, utter, sing aloud. Saints shall bless, tell of the glory of his kingdom and speak of thy power. Make known. And again, kind of repetitive, call upon him and cry out to him. And again, in the end, speak and bless his holy name forever. Now, may I emphasize the fact that this is not just for a Thanksgiving service, but it is for a Thanksgiving service. And may we take courage as a congregation this morning to lift up our voice and to speak and declare distinctly and clearly, make known how God has blessed us in an amazing way, answered prayers, given us our health back, or helped us through sickness and difficulties or almost accidents, like I had the other day when the traffic was so heavy and somebody stopped just in front of me a little bit and I had to brake so hard to avoid rear-ending the individual. Or the songbooks that we have, that we are so blessed that we have 2,000 songs in two books, over 2,000. I bless the Lord for that, and that we sing them here, and all that. So anyway, I want to take my seat here and just open up the microphone here in the front. You can just come or raise your hand and get ready with the microphones in the back. Two of you, one on the men's side, maybe one on the women's, that you're able to hand the mic to. And we just want to open up and have a Thanksgiving service. I think it's good that we remember each other and the good things that God has done. We fulfill Psalms 145 in this way, and we keep the traditions that we have been taught. Thank you, and God bless you. All right. Thank you, Brother Ted, to start it.
It's good to be here. Good to be here today. It's a wonderful service, and the flu is about finished with me now, I think. My dear wife is just about starting her recovery today. First day, she kind of felt a little bit better today than the last several days. Anyhow, I'm thankful for many things, but I would like to just take a deviant bunny trail here and go off on a... This is something that Victor Kravitz would do. Go off on some strange idea and come up with something wonderful in the end. Not that mine's going to be wonderful, but his is anyhow. I want to tell you that I'm 72 almost. When I was 45 years old, there was some death in my life. I didn't die personally, of course, but things around me began to die. I lost my beautiful home in California, which was maybe worth $500,000. A beautiful lighted swimming pool in the backyard. I lost our housekeeper. I lost vacations to Europe, to Mexico, and to Canada. I lost my sports car. I had a beautiful sports car that I was so proud of, and I could rev the engine and be 45 years old and pretend I was 16, and I loved it. I had a beautiful truck painted black that was really polished and shiny, and it had bright pink flames on either side. I had so much pride. Wonderful pride in my life and arrogance. I was somebody. I had self-sufficiency from the world. I had a nice bank account. I had a self-worth. And I lost it all. And in the end, I lost my wife. A little poem that's meant so much to me is, listen to these words. I had won all the things that I could win. There was no place that I hadn't been but my heart. I was so needy and so poor. And I heard the Savior gently say, "Why not just lose it all and find my way?" So I gave it up, and I found it all and more. I lost it all to find everything. I died a pauper to become a king. When I learned how to lose, oh, I found how to win.
Amen.
So I lost it all, and I found everything. So as a middle-aged man, I had a great death in my life, and I showed up here in Pennsylvania with two children and $2,000 to my name, and that was all. So what does this have to do with Thanksgiving? What does this have to do with being thankful? Well, let me tell you, Thanksgiving is thanksgiving. Every day, we should be thankful for many things. And I don't wish that you have a good week, and I don't wish that you have a good day. I want you to make it a good week, and I want you to make it a good day, and to be thankful. I had death to everything in my life, except my children. So why am I thankful today? Let me tell you, people, why I'm so thankful today. I'm thankful because I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And I'm so thankful.
Amen.
And I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God,
Amen,
who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's why I'm so thankful every day of my life.
Also, I didn't mean that if you had something prepared, like I think Nathan's did, that they should not do that. I want all that worked in.
Well, since Brother Lewis got an introduction, I think maybe it's my turn next. So I want to say I'm very thankful to the Lord for his goodness to me this past year and throughout my life. I feel like I've been very blessed. I'm thankful for you all. Thankful for the brothers and sisters here in the church. And blessing you've been to me, the encouragement, the support that you've shown. It's hard to believe that's over 4 years already since I've been ordained to the ministry, and yet I must say it's been a blessing. It's been challenges, but you all have just been such an encouragement and lifted me up when I was maybe feeling a little bit overwhelmed or whatever. And I just want to say thank you to you all, and thanks to the Lord too for the blessing you all have been to me and to my family. On Friday, my wife and I celebrated 16 years of marriage, so I'm very thankful for her, my dear wife, and she's been a rich blessing to me these many years. God's been very good to us. I'm also very thankful for just the natural blessings God gives, the beauty of nature, the splendor that reflects his greatness. As part of the time that my wife and I took apart, just the two of us, to celebrate our anniversary, we took a little time to look through a nature book that I believe we've borrowed from the Weavers. It has some just really gorgeous scenery from places all over the earth. And, we never have been to Europe, Brother Ted, but seeing some of those pictures made me wish to go sometime. Maybe someday we can do that. I don't know. But our family would like to sing a couple of songs about God's greatness and his goodness. And so I think I'll invite them to come up this time. And if we could have a microphone, too, we'll do a little bit of Bible memory. The first song we want to sing is How Marvelous God's Greatness. It is in our hymn books, if you wish to follow along, number 126 in our hymn books. Church number 129. The heavens are telling the glory of God.
The heavens are telling the glory of God, the wonder of His word displays the firmament. In all the lands resounds the word, ever unperceived
Psalm 19.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge.
There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is sure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
I want to thank the Lord, too. When I look over my life, I'm so thankful that he drew me. I see so many of my family and friends that I grew up with that are not walking with the Lord. And I think of the way that he led me, just different things along the way that I didn't see at the time, but now I look back and I'm so thankful that God was orchestrating things, and I ended up here. And I got to marry Nathan, and through that, I got to enjoy his grandmother. She's gone 2 years now already, but she often said, we can't be thankful enough that we were taught. And then I think of my parents. I'm thankful for what they gave me. They didn't have a lot, but they taught me what they knew. And some of that is some of the most important things that I needed. The fear of the Lord and a loyalty to the church. And I'm thankful that in my generation, I was given more. I had other places I could learn things. And I'm thankful that the next generation is getting even more than what I had. Anita was in Bible school this year. And I'm a very thankful mom, just to see the children making right choices. And we still have a lot to go, but we're feeling very blessed where we are right now.
I want to praise God this morning. I praise him for his great salvation. And also I want to thank God so much for his faithfulness, his great faithfulness. He's been faithful over the many years. In Lamentations 3, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It says, and the great is his faithfulness. I'm thankful for his great faithfulness. The psalmist said in Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. That's those children, to the next generation. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens, as they just sang about too. I'm thankful that God's word tells us that he's faithful when we're tempted to make a way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10:13. But when we don't take that way of escape, when we fall and we sin, Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he's faithful to make a way of escape, but if we don't take that way of escape, he's still faithful to forgive us if we repent and confess our sin. And if we don't confess our sin, the Bible says he's still faithful in Hebrews 12 to chasten us so that we will come back and do what's right. So I thank God and praise him for his faithfulness and all that he's done in my life. And I just want to serve him because of his faith. I want to be faithful to him.
Well, I'm very thankful to be here this morning. It's a great joy to me to be here. I want to bless you, Victor, for being faithful and sharing what you did this morning. I found it interesting that the Lord put that on your heart. I'm not sure all the reasons as to why, but this morning I woke up pretty long before my alarm clock went off, and I just had a sense of heaviness in my heart as it relates to my responsibility as a father, having young children at home. Yet about a week or two, I completed the book on the Tech Tsunami by Gary Miller, and my heart was sobered. And this, by way of praising the Lord, it was such a rich blessing to have two of our married children home here over Thanksgiving, and we've had a lot of good, happy family time sharing together, laughing together, and also some sober conversation, which at times is very needful as it relates to the pressures that we face in our culture. And I think we all thought about it this morning when they were all lined up here. And I woke up this morning with a sense of heaviness on my heart as I think of, as a father, influencing my children that are still at home and some of the pressures that we face. And just the fact of being part of a congregation here this morning that has that concern is something I thank God for. And I value greatly. In fact, I'm going to be really honest with you. I came into church this morning. I'm one of those men that when a thought goes through my mind, it tends to lodge there. And I just zero in on it. And it can hinder my worship. And had one of them went through me this morning as I sat here. And it has to do with reading that book. And it has to do with technology and how do we deal with it. And one of the thoughts that went through my mind is with technology today and the phones that we have, I wrote in my notes that I need to communicate with the Verizon store where I have my store and my phones from, and just see if there's something I can do to put more protection on this thing of technology as it relates to having children in my home. And I wrote that down. And then Victor stood up and had the message that he did. Just bless me. That was outstanding to me. So a lot of things that I'm thankful for today. I just want to again express my appreciation for the church here. I was thinking about being thankful. You know, if somebody would have told me 10 years ago that we'll be members of Effort of Christian Fellowship and we won't be part of the Whole Harmony where we were many years, I wouldn't have believed it. And here we are today. Why do I say that? Yesterday, my wife and I were on a walk. And I'm going to explain it this way. The last 5 years of our life, I would say, was a million-dollar experience that I wouldn't give $5 for. And why would I say that? I think you all can identify with some of those things that the Lord takes us through. 6 years ago, I probably would not have viewed myself as a person that's careless in my relationships. I wouldn't have felt I was one of those kind of people. And I feel like God probably had to have me in a place where I encountered some hurts that just about did me in, to help me to realize that I was more of a careless person than I realized. And it was one of those things that I feel like God worked deeply in my heart in a way that I trust it will help me in the future, being a more sensitive, careful person, because relationships are something, godly relationships are something to be valued in a tremendous way. And I want to be one of those people. And so I can say this morning that I thank God for that encounter that God allowed me to experience, to work his grace, I trust, in a deeper way in my heart. I'm thankful for that. Are you going to say something about your family? I'm very, very thankful for my wife and some of the vision that she gets. She has wrestled, I think, a lot more than I have with the passing away of her father and all that transpired there. It has been stressful in her family. Has been stressful in relationships, particularly with two of her siblings. that have been a struggle. And when Thanksgiving approached this year with some of our married children coming home, she had a vision to get her extended family together so that our daughter-in-law could meet some of them that she never met before. And it was a rich blessing to me. It was more of a rich blessing to her, I think, to be able to see her siblings interact together in ways that they haven't done for years. And we feel like that was a tremendous answer to prayer, and something that we would just really like to give glory to God for, and we're very thankful. The other evening, we had got a phone call from our son in New York. They had a baby, our granddaughter, our first granddaughter, about 2 weeks ago, is it now? She was born. She was a preemie, 4 weeks early, tiny little thing, came home from the hospital. They were concerned if anything goes wrong in her health, as far as the flu or anything like that. Her little brother had the flu. She'd have to go back to the hospital. Well, we got a call that she had something happen, and they were in an ambulance on the way to the hospital. It seemed like it could have been life-threatening just the other evening when our family was together. Thanksgiving evening, and we're very thankful that she seems to be doing well today, and we praise the Lord for that. We weren't sure there for a while which way it could go, but we are very, very thankful. She had RSV, she was turning blue, and but God spared her life. Such a sweet little girl that we're thankful for. This is probably the bigger one, and I alluded to it last week, but just to reinstate it, I feel like God, here lately I've been looking at different passages of Scripture relating to faith. You know, the journey of faith that God has us on. And I just would like to reinstate it a little bit what I shared last Sunday about my wife's trip to California. At some point in that journey, and I struggled with it. In fact, one of the sisters came to me last Sunday and said, "I can't believe you didn't go to California with your wife and later go out there all the way that way by herself." And that's fine that she said that. In fact, I appreciate that she said that. But at some point in that journey, I felt it my responsibility to go along out there on that trip. But at some point in that journey, we came to realize that, you know what, it just is not seemingly going to be the thing to work out for us to both go out there and leave some of the children home. And my wife came to a place of rest in her spirit that this was what God was calling us to, that she would go out there alone. And I remember when her and I came to that place of this is what God is asking of us. And we looked at that. At first it looked like a mountain. And then we said, you know what, this is what God is calling us to. He will make a way. And to some of you it probably seems like a little thing. To some of you it might seem like a big thing. It was a big thing to us. But it was such a blessing to see how God just orchestrated that trip. We never rented a car before. I never rented a car before. We did very little flying. We're from the generation that didn't fly. I know some of the young people, they fly all over the place these days. We didn't. And so we did very little flying, no car renting or anything like that in our life. I guess we're just home people. And so it looked like a big thing. But it was such a blessing just to see how God orchestrated the details of the trip out there. And some of you have reached out to us back here in small ways that were actually big ways to us. And it was a blessing. There was two girls from the care center, both from the care center that offered to reach out to our son Jared, and they did tremendous, and they seemed to enjoy it. And that was a blessing, something I praise God for. I don't look at it as a small thing. And it just reminded me, you know, when God assigns a task to us or a given responsibility or something, we can look at that mountain and say, you know, God is going to help me. And it was a blessing to see how God did that for us.
As Brian already shared some about our trip, I just wanted to highlight on a few things of God's just, overwhelming faithfulness to me. The verses in Joshua 1:9 have become reality once again in my life. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And for me, it was California this past week ago. Joel had surgery. 25 years ago, I had flown to Grenada to visit Raymond and Naomi Burkholder, Brian and I, and that was the last time I flew. Well, I don't know if any of you have flown in the 25-year, from one time to the next, but a lot has changed in airports, and plus that time I just kind of left Brian take care of me, and I was along for the ride. But when we got to the airport in Baltimore, they just took us under their wing. I guess we maybe looked like we needed taken under the wing. But they did outstanding. And the flight home from Grenada 25 years ago, I was very, very sick. I told Brian, I don't care if I never have to fly again. Well, the Lord took care of that, and we had a very good flight. I didn't get sick. I didn't even feel like using that little bag that's there for such purposes. So that was one of the first direct answers to prayer. The other one was the car rental. Like Brian said, I never rented a car before, and we just buzzed through that experience. And Joelle and I even got to take a short afternoon trip. We saw that the Redwoods were about an hour away from where we were staying, and the coast. So that afternoon, after we landed and got settled in, we enjoyed the beauty of the Redwoods. Just, yeah, overwhelming beauty of God's handiwork, if you've ever seen them. And then, of course, the coast, too. Just beautiful. And then Wednesday was a day packed full of appointments and blood work and the nurses at the hospital. Well, we got to where my GPS said, "This, you have arrived." And I was like, this is not a hospital. There's just little like businesses. And so then there was a man that was walking around outside, and I said, "Can you tell me where the Los Gatos hospital is?" And he said, "Well, it's just down the street. You're almost there." And that was Wednesday. And so we arrived, and the nurses did outstanding with caring for us. They just asked if we wanted water and just really made us feel comfortable. And then Thursday morning, of course, we had to be there early, and surgery went well. When we were the day before on Wednesday, when we were at the hospital doing her blood work, actually the hospital reminded me of a little clinic. It was just a small hole-in-the-wall place. It did not remind me of hospitals around here, but excellent care. And Wednesday when we were there, she was getting her blood work done, and I noticed another Anabaptist couple came into the room, and they were there for his wife was having surgery with the same doctor that Joelle was having surgery. So it just felt special to have another Anabaptist family in a community so far away. And they were actually from Ohio, and long story short, Brian's mom made the connection that he is a second cousin to Brian. So we connected different times throughout our time there. And then, yeah, surgery went well. Friday, she was able to go back to her Airbnb. We had a beautiful little cottage that was only 10 minutes from the hospital and about 15 from the airport. Very busy town, a lot of heavy traffic. God watched over us and protected us from any incidents. Thursday morning when we walked into the hospital for her surgery, the security guard met us at the door. And I started sharing Christ with him. And he said, "You pray for me." He said, "My grandma was religious. Both grandmas were religious, and he came from Brooklyn, New York, and he's a security guard at the hospital there. So if you want to all join in praying along with us for his salvation." Yeah, and the host and hostess at the Airbnb, they were, I don't know, just kind of like a grandma and grandpa figure to us. She actually came and visited me while Joelle was during surgery, and brought me a little bag full of apples and fruit and things like that. And then, yeah, I was, of course, communicating with my family back home, and another blessing was just knowing that my family was being cared for in my absence was huge. So a special thank you to the sisters that have lifted my hands in that way. There was a sister that came and cleaned house for me my house on Tuesday, and got it ready for our homecoming, and that just really ministered to my heart too. And the many prayers that you have beseeched the throne on our behalf, God has moved and answered them in ways beyond what I could have ever imagined. So I just want to thank you for the way that you walked alongside of us this definitely, like Brian said about being here at Ephrata, if anybody would have told me that I would have to do this, I would have said no. It is totally out of my comfort zone. I can't do that. But it was just a faith builder for me that when God calls us to walk through something, he also gives grace and will be faithful for the journey. And a year ago, I was recovering from my ankle surgery. I am praising the Lord for the gift of walking. It is truly a gift that I am grateful for. So thank you.
Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Indeed, all of us, but especially myself, have so much to be thankful for and grateful. And I am thankful that God is my kind Heavenly Father, that Jesus, he's my brother, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, he's my best friend. And I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters here. And this morning, as Brother Victor shared, my heart was touched deeply because God had already spoken to my heart. Now, I don't want to make this counter productive, going the wrong way. But this morning, as I was thinking about my family, my children, and some of my grandchildren, which I don't see, and I pondered deeply. You can't do this literally, but how would I do if I could live my life over and with relationships, with circumstances? And my heart bled for my children, for my family. And I literally got down on my knees on my little rocker there, and I wept before the Lord. And that was good. That was therapeutic. And I thought about Job. He rose up, you know, and he said, lest they have sinned. For he prayed for his children, you know. And so this morning, as Brother Richter shared, this all fit together. And I thought, oh, yes, may all of us. Some things are too late for me, but not all things. And I want to believe while there is life, there is hope. Some things don't look very hopeful, but I want to believe. I want to hang on because God is a faithful God, creator. And so, yes, even though I'm sort of giving a sad part, but I'm giving a blessed part. God bless you all. And I trust that. Well, I heard the voice of Brian. I trust that's the heart of all of you, dear fathers. I pray often for you and for the mothers, too. But I think about the fathers because I saw, even though I loved the Lord, I served the Lord, I taught school, I was assistant pastor, and many, many things. But somehow there were areas that I failed deeply. It wasn't all my responsibility, but mainly it was. Let's press on and let God build. He wants to do that. I did want to say, too, that I'm so thankful. This past week, things have been changing down in Haiti, and some of the missionaries are returning. It's safe to go shopping and so forth. Most places, there are still pockets of resistance that aren't too good. And so that's so exciting to me.
I have so much to be thankful for. If I will count everything, we're staying here for the day and then some. But the greatest thing that I am thankful for, the foremost and the greatest, is that Jesus found me worthy to die for me. I would be lost if he wouldn't have.
I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for my family, for James. James has taught me how to have strong faith in the Lord. When he was diagnosed with cancer, I thought that was it. I cried in secret a lot of times. But he says, honey, I'll be okay. And even if I won't, I'm still be okay. I'm going home, and my heart is ready and right with the Lord. And you'll be okay too. But it seems like for now, the Lord has touched him. The doctor said there is no trace of cancer left. I have so much to be thankful for. And the next thing that I'm thankful for is my church. We pray every single day for our leadership, our brothers, our sisters, our youth, the children. And what Brother Victor shared, I have been struggling with that for a long, long time. I have such an endearing love for our youth. I didn't have what they have. And I want to be there for them. And I have a great, great great responsibility. I have such a burden for my grandchildren, especially for Caleb. We have to be there for our children. The times are getting evil. It's very, very evil out there. And that's all we have is one another. Let's press on together. I don't think we have a lot of time left. And I cherish our church. I am so thankful. I have learned more in those 6 years than I did in my entire lifetime. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for everyone. And I trust our leadership with all my heart. That's not saying that we don't have failures. We're human. But I trust our leadership. And I love our church with all that I have. That's the highlight of my life is Wednesdays and Sundays. I feel fed. And I thank the Lord that he found me worthy to give me that. Many times I have said, I wish I could live my life over, but I did. I'm forgiven. I'm totally forgiven. I have lived my life over. I thank the Lord for what he has done. Thank you.
I just want to praise God for all his blessings in my life. And I especially want to thank him for my husband and how dear and patient he is. He's such a good father to our children. And I thank God also for forgiveness. When we know we don't do everything right and we have a lot of needs, but we thank him that he's always there, that we can go to him with all our needs and everything we face, life. And we just want to continue to have a vision and a burden for raising our children. And thank you for everyone in church. We love our church too. And we don't want to take anything for granted. Thank you all.
I just like to thank God for all he has done for me. My blessings are a lot. And we've been trying very much to get a house, and I'd just be very grateful if you'd pray for us.
I guess I can say like my cousin Susie did, that I could be here all day thanking God for all his blessings. I guess the last year or two, I'm not used to having my husband at home sometimes to help me and take me places that I don't go by myself. I'm very thankful for that. That he's healthy, and he went through a lot too a couple of years ago, and I'm still thankful that God healed him and we can be together, and I guess we have the best times of our lives. We can go do our work together, and he helps me a lot around the house. And I'm thankful for my children and grandchildren. We actually had this year, in a year's time, we had 4 new granddaughters. I'm very thankful for them, and I think God knows what He's doing. As we get older, we need girls to help us. We're not as young as we used to be. I still try to do everything I did when I was young, but it doesn't work. In a year or two, I can feel it doesn't work anymore, but I still try. But that's when God knows that we need extra help, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for my church, too. I don't take it for granted either that we just come over here and enjoy this church. And we want to be able to do something. And I want to be able to help where I can. And thank you forever. Thank you who made it possible that we can do that. It's not just something that I take for granted either. And I thank everybody who's involved in that.
The other day when I was having my quiet time, I came across these two verses and I just stopped and considered them. It's Psalm 116. It says, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. And I just thought of the many times that God has heard my prayers, and times when I didn't know what to do, He just came through. And I also just thank Him that that He's able to save somebody who's not from a Christian family. I was raised in Los Angeles, and we went to church on Christmas and Easter, and I don't understand what Easter was. When it said He has risen, I had no idea what that meant. I just knew the Easter bunny and Easter eggs and chocolate, and that God was so faithful that He saw my heart and He put the right people in my life, and that even at that time I didn't know anybody. I don't know what Mennonites were, Amish were, but I met a family, and we just kind of stepped back from the mainstream church and started to study the Bible for ourselves. And it was just God showing me through His Word that He wanted me to grow out my hair and wear dresses and be modest and eventually wear a covering. And as I obeyed Him, I just felt He was so near. And I just thank the Lord for His kindness in saving me.
I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for His salvation and love that He has shown me. I'm extremely thankful for the church, the brothers and the sisters. The 4 years that I've attended, I've learned so much, and I only look forward to go forward with all of you. I'm thankful for my parents and for my son Caleb. It's been a journey, a learning journey, and I enjoy him so much. I'm also thankful for Joelle's recovery and also Grandma Rachel's. And we will continue to pray for both of you and your recovery.
I want to bless the Lord. The Bible says if we don't speak, then the rocks will cry out. I don't want the rocks to take my place. I want to bless the Lord, because He was so good to me. His blessings are innumerable. His mercies are new every morning. And Friday it'll be a year that I had my valve replacement. And it, due to all the prayers and the doctor's expertise, it went without a hitch. And so time went on, and then in September I had my accident where I had 9 broken bones, and I had to learn patience through all that, because it was, to me, a long haul with the pain and everything that went on. But I want to thank the church especially for the meals that were brought in, the cards, the scrapbook, all the things that you did for me and for my husband, who took such good care of me. I just thank the Lord for that, that we're still here together and we can bless the Lord together. I'm just so thankful. God bless you.
think the very fact that I'm standing here, Thanksgiving this year, made me realize how many things I'm thankful and grateful for. Thanksgiving was a little unusual for me this year. I wasn't near as busy. I got to spend it with a couple, both sides of my family, my adopted side and my blood side. And I realized at the end of the night, I ended up going home early, and I'm like, man, this just feels weird. My roommate was gone. He was up at the cabin with his family. I'm just kind of left to sit there and think. And as I was thinking, I just began to realize, like, what led me to this place? You know, like, over the course of the years, like, you know, I'm here, and I had my Bible open. I was just like, for some reason, I just found myself crying out to the Lord. And I didn't know what I was crying about. I was just crying out. And I began to realize that how much I had compared to how many around me didn't have, and what I had seen that day, you know, being with my blood family that day and just realizing what it was like to spend, what it could have been like to spend 30 plus years without knowing the Lord. And it broke my heart, you know, as, you know, they know about the Lord, but they've never chosen him. And for anyone who doesn't know, Mama and Papa Mose and Rhoda took me in many years ago. I was their foster son. And I'm super grateful because they left me with a heritage of knowing the Lord. And I've had the ability to be able to travel around the world now, helping people, speaking in churches around the world. And someone asked me recently, they're like, you know, you're 30-something, you know, do you think it's time to settle down? And I looked at them and I said, well, how old are you, Mose? 73. And so this would have been about a year ago, so you would have been 72 at the time. And I said, well, I said, my foster dad is in his 70s. I said, I think I got a long ways to go yet. And I said, and he's still traveling around the world bringing the gospel. And one of the things I remember from a real young age, I'll never forget this time, and Mose, I don't know if I ever told you about this time. I'll never forget the time that it was shortly after Francis had been at our house from Africa. And I remember you sitting me down and telling me about why we go places. And it would have been Mark 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that has been a verse that has marked my life. Even through the low times when I walked away from the Lord, that verse still rang in my ears. And I just am so grateful to have had that kind of heritage. I mean, when I sat there with my family and saw, you know, like, well, let's do the traditional prayer. No, it's not a traditional prayer to me. It's my God that I get to thank every day. I get to thank him for the breath of life. I get to thank him for the food that is on my table. To truly be grateful. I've lived in countries now where we didn't have food. It took 3 days, you know, praying that the containers would be released so that we could have food and water. But the most important was when the people would suddenly realize that the necessity of life wasn't near as important as their soul. And I wouldn't have been able to bring that without having that kind of a godly heritage. So I just wanted to publicly up front just say thank you, Mom and Dad, for taking me in, for raising me with a godly heritage, and for still being there for me. You know, there's many times y'all don't realize that. I'd say we really started reconnecting in 2014. I was in the airport headed to Ghana, West Africa, ready to head back. And something just broke inside, and I just needed to call home. And I picked up the phone, sitting in the airport, Philadelphia, just about an hour away on a layover. And I called Mama. And I was just like, I just need to hear your voice. And I just started crying about something that had happened years ago while in the foster system. And she just broke down and listened, you know? And here I am in an airport in Philadelphia just weeping, and people are kind of walking around like, you okay, sir? And I remember just being able to tell one person, I called home. And so just thank you for that. Thank you for that ability.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you.
If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.